You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. Amen. It's interesting that reading from Daniel that we heard, there's a poster that says, "Everything I learned from the Bible," or something. And one of these allusions, this phrase that we have, the writing on the wall. We've seen the writing on the wall. Well, now we see where it comes from. And it's wonderful to see the literary import of the Bible on our everyday language. But that's not the passage that I'm going to be talking about. I was talking about the gospel that we just heard, which is part of Luke's gospel called the Little Apocalypse. And the reason they call it this is because the apocalypse is the transliterated word meaning Greek word meaning revelation, and it's generally applied to the big apocalypse, which is the book of Revelation, and it basically it's been given to parts of the Bible that talk about, what is going to be revealed, what is God is telling people. And in this section, we have Jesus talking about the end of the world, what will happen leading up to and the events that will mark the culmination of time. And it's interesting, these passages, including little and big apocalypse, have always been read by people, or have attempted to be read by people as a sort of map, deciphering code for what's going on. They look at Jesus talking about persecutions and wars and famines and pestilence, and they look around and they say, I know where we are in time. I know what God is doing. It's funny, I have a friend of mine who, I'll protect him by his anonymity, but his mother, when he was growing up, was so convinced that she understood these apocalyptic texts to say that the world was going to end in 1982. And so he was born in 1974, and she didn't send him to primary school. Not because she was anti-education, but simply because, what was the point? What was the point to go to school if the world was going to end in 1982? And so he's since learned how to read, I think, or something, but we see how people, the temptation to take these passages and make sense of what God is doing. But that's not the point of them. That's not why they're in the Bible, because they're not a secret message. They're not a treasure map to the end time that we have to somehow read all the right clues to follow. What they are, in fact, is a message intended to remind us, to pull us out of the everyday existence of our lives and remind us that there is going to be an end. There is going to be a culmination of time, and that God is not this sort of the philosopher, deistic God sitting back and just watching things unfold, but that he is in fact involved and has a plan and is intimately connected to the everyday events of the world. God is not like this spectator, watching a football match or something, saying, I hope my team wins. God is sitting up there controlling, operating, impacting, and shepherding over his world. And see, we have Jesus, the difficulty is we have Jesus foretelling these things, that there are great earthquakes and pestilence and famines, and that's difficult, because to reconcile these two, that God is in fact doing something, culminating the world in his plan, and yet we have these things that Jesus foretells. Well, I think that there's one point of this that I want to stress today, and that's that he mentions over and over again that you will be persecuted, you will be witnesses, you will be a number of things for my name, in my name. Now, there's different ways of understanding this concept, and I don't want to hang too heavy a theological weight on this particular passage, the way he uses it. But if we look at the concept throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, this concept of the name of Jesus is significant. It's not a sort of mystic chant or a talisman to ward off evil or something. But what it is that when we say Jesus, we have said something specific about God. When we say Jesus, the Son of God, we have simultaneously said that God is not this generic God, but that he is in fact the Father of Jesus, the one who we know by no other name other than the Father of Jesus. And furthermore, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we also say something relationally because we have at one time said all three. We have said God the Father of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of the life that comes from God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is important in light of this passage that we just read today, because when we're reminded that the world is going to end, when we are reminded when we're directed towards the wars and the pestilence and the famine, and our fear comes that God is in fact this absent deity, that God has somehow let go of the reins, possibly. When we look at the things that Jesus talks about, the pestilence, the famine, the persecutions, the hatred, the existence of this world, we are tempted to let go of the hope that we find. But this is why this name of Jesus and this identity of God is so important, because he's not unknowable. He's not a mystery. He's not vague force that underlies sort of all things for good. He has revealed himself in Jesus as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is what I'll leave you with as our hope. This profession of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because by this hope, by this, it is secured that he's not absent, that he's not away from us, that he has sent his Son to redeem the world, and that he promises by by his Son that, as we see in the big apocalypse, that there will be a day where there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more wars, no more pestilence, no more pain. And this is the hope and the trust of the God who has promised and shown that he will make all things new. And this name of Jesus is that which safeguards our hope, because in this name we are forgiven of our sins. By this name we are baptized into his kingdom, and through this name we have been given life by faith in the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, even to the ends of the earth. Amen.